Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel has accomplished remarkable things in his 85 years, and he's many things to many people. Holocaust survivor, writer, teacher, humanitarian, and witness to history. This morning, as part of our ongoing series, Visionaries, WBUR's Andrea Shea profiles this international luminary, Elie Wiesel.
When Elie Wiesel was only 15 years old, he witnessed the unimaginable. What he saw has defined his life ever since. Wiesel was born in 1928 Transylvania, now Romania, to deeply religious parents. The young Elie studied Judaic texts, played violin, and dreamed of conducting an orchestra. Then, in 1944, Hitler's final solution reached his remote town. Wiesel's family was herded into cattle cars, destined for the concentration camps.
In those places, in one night, one becomes old. Because what one saw in one night, generations of men and women had not seen in their own entire lives.
Wiesel's father, ill with dysentery, was taken away in the middle of the night to the crematorium while his son slept in the bunk above. Wiesel never saw his mother and sister again either. When he was liberated in 1945, Wiesel made a vow of silence not to speak or write about his experiences for 10 years.
Why? I wanted to be sure that I'll find the words, the right words. And I'm not sure I did. I have doubts. To this day, I have doubts. Because there are no words.
After World War II, disgusted, heartbroken, and alone, the teenaged Wiesel went to Paris. He found work writing for Israeli and French newspapers. Then, a prominent French writer convinced Wiesel to finally put pen to paper. The young survivor called his tale, and the world remained silent.
I would say, look, it happened, and the world knew, but we couldn't find a publisher. I saw the letters. Oh, it's too sad, too morbid.
Eventually, Hill and Wang agreed to publish the darkly poetic memoir, but Wiesel was told to rename it. Night hit the shelves in 1960.
Never shall I forget that night. The first night in the camp. Which has turned my life into one long night. Seven times cursed and seven times sealed. Never shall I forget that smoke. Never shall I forget the little faces of the children whose bodies I saw turned into wreaths of smoke.
It took 5 years to sell 3,000 copies, but Wiesel's Night eventually went on to become a bestseller. It's still taught in classrooms around the world. Professor Michael Dubkowski has been introducing undergrads to the slim 116-page memoir for 35 years at Hobart and William Smith Colleges.
It drags you into this anti-world, into this upside-down universe that, you know, we understand the Holocaust to be now. And it does so by stories, which I think is one of his great gifts.
Dubkowski says he witnesses the book's sobering effect on his students year after year. Wiesel also touched thousands in his own classrooms as a professor of 38 years at Boston University.
I was his personal assistant for 27 years.
Martha Hauptmann started working with Wiesel after taking the first class he taught at BU in 1976. She says Wiesel was an accessible moral model and vividly remembers his words to his students.
The opposite of love is not hate, it is indifference.
Wiesel has delivered powerful lectures about the tempting but dehumanizing power of indifference.
The peril threatening humankind today is indifference, even more than hatred. Indifference to hatred is encouraging hatred and is justifying hatred. So what we must do, I mean your peers and mine, is fight indifference.
This is how I see the visionary in him, because that's what he really believed. And he would say, do something, anything. Start somewhere, anywhere.
Wiesel's sphere of influence expanded greatly after he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1986. The committee called him a messenger to mankind. Wiesel humbly recalls the moment.
That day the world listens. That day. Next day they forget. But that day they listen.
And they continued to listen. When an international crisis erupted, media calls would flood Wiesel's office. He used the Nobel Prize money to create the Elie Wiesel Foundation for Humanity with his wife of more than 40 years, Marion. Wiesel has spoken out against torture and genocide in places such as Cambodia, Rwanda, and South Africa. Even so, he questions how much influence he's actually had.
Not enough, really. That means I am not playing with false modesty. But the decision makers, I'm not sure that I affected them, the decision makers.
But Wiesel has tried. He's had a knack for using public events to make face-to-face requests of decision makers, like the 1985 White House ceremony where he unsuccessfully lobbied President Reagan to cancel his trip to a cemetery in Bitburg, Germany, where Nazi SS soldiers were buried. At the dedication of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, he implored President Clinton to stop the bloodshed in the former Yugoslavia. Wiesel played a major role in creating that iconic D.C. museum. President Jimmy Carter recalls asking the survivor to chair the Holocaust Commission, charged with overseeing its design.
I knew that he had a terrible personal experience in the Holocaust itself and didn't know if he wanted to take on this emotional responsibility.
Wiesel was determined to create not just a memorial, but a more ambitious center of learning dedicated to preventing future atrocities. Today, 2 million people visit the Holocaust Museum every year. President Carter also asked Wiesel to be an advisor on the creation of the Carter Center for Human Rights.
I think he has always exemplified, at least in my experiences with him, a commitment to peace and to justice and to basic human rights.
The two elder statesmen haven't always seen eye to eye, especially regarding the tensions in the Middle East. Others have taken issue with Wiesel's stance on Israel, his spiritual home.
I think there is an unwillingness on Professor Wiesel's part to speak about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Joshua Rubinstein directed Amnesty International's Northeast office for 37 years.
He expresses his sadness over the suffering, of course, and the conflict and the violence. But when he's been approached to speak about Palestinian suffering, he has deferred. He said he really would only want to be critical of Israel in Israel. This has disappointed many intellectuals and activists in Israel itself, who have a good deal of respect for Wiesel, but expect more of him.
I don't speak or write to please or not.
Again, Professor Elie Wiesel.
I speak or write about things that matter to me, and therefore are essential to me. If they please some people and displease others, too bad or too good.
When the 85-year-old Wiesel considers the world today, his eyes darken. In the wake of numerous tragedies, including 9/11, he laments that his central messages have not been heard.
Otherwise, why should there be such an obsession with violence these days? Don't we know? Haven't we learned anything? That is my question and my despair.
At the same time, Wiesel holds on to hope and still has an unfailing faith in humanity's potential. Looking back on all that he's done, Wiesel says he, of course, wishes he had done some things differently.
It wouldn't be normal not to regret or have remorse. I mean, have I really written, let's say, the right way about certain things? Did I use the right words? At night they come to haunt me, the words that I have not used.
But the words Elie Wiesel has used will carry on, and there are a lot of them. He's written more than 60 books and says he's always working on the next one. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.